And Lord God, even now as we come, we are declaring, Father, that nothing competes with you in our lives. Not material things, not spiritual things, nothing compares. And Lord God, if there be any area where something, oh God, is standing toe to toe with you in our lives, this day, we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that that thing be cut down and reduced to nothing. Lord, oh God, that you and you alone remains truly God, supreme, sovereign in every area of our lives. So, Father, Lord, that all things then will abide in proper order. For this is our declaration of faith, recognizing, oh God, that with you we have everything. And Lord, oh God, we want no less than you and no less than having access to all that you have for us as your people this day. So, Father, thank you for the grace of access. Thank you for the enabling granted to us to seek you with all of our hearts in Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name. We call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you this wonderful evening in the presence of the Lord. We are going to get straight into the word of the Lord tonight. And as we do so, we embrace all that God has for us as his people. Tonight, I would like you to come with me to a passage of scripture that is repeated twice in the Synoptic Gospels. It's found in Luke chapter 5 and also in Mark chapter 2. But I'm going to start out with looking at Mark chapter 2, book of Mark chapter 2, and we'll take it from that particular passage. And as we explore this, and we'll go back and forth between the Mark passage and the Luke 5 passage. The Luke 5 passage is from verse 17 through 26. Mark chapter 2, beginning to read from verse 1. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days." I want to stop there and consider that statement for a moment. "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days." In other words, he'd been in Capernaum or Capernaum, that is the village of Nahum. That's what Capernaum means. It is the anglicized form of that word. And when we go to Israel together in February, late February into March, we moved it from November, but we'll be going in February of the new year. We will go definitely to Capernaum or Capernaum. This was Jesus' headquarters in the Galilee. Whenever he was in the area, he was in Capernaum, and then from there he will go to different parts of the Galilee where he spent a great deal of his time and where most of his miracles happened. The Bible says he entered again into Capernaum. But I like that word there, after some days. So he's been gone for some time, and the people were expecting him. There's got to be a sense of expectance, and I believe that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is in that state. We want more than we are experiencing right now. We want to know more of the power of God. We want to know more of his authority flowing in our lives and through our lives. And so he was gone for some days, just like our Lord has gone on for some days. But we are waiting with expectant faith for his return. And so it was that they were waiting for him. And it says, and it was noise that he was in the house. I say the Lord is in the house today. Hallelujah. When they say he is in the house, you know something is about to happen. Hallelujah. He is in the house. Glory be to God. It was noise around that he was in the house. The Lord Jesus was in the house, not just in Capernaum, not just in Winnipeg, right here in the house in glory and peace, right here, right now. Glory be to God. The Lord was in the house. It was noise, but broadcasted. People were saying it all over the place. He's in the house. He's in the house. Who's in the house? Jesus. Jesus is in the house. And people, as soon as they heard it, they dropped their buckets of water. They dropped their bread. They dropped whatever they had in their hands. And they were running and racing down to where Jesus was. And as they got there, they found out the place was packed out. Father, thank you for a packed house in the mighty name of Jesus. Place was packed out. No room. Hey. But there was a man coming that day. He was coming real slow. He couldn't run like the other people. When he got there, there was no room for him to get in. But there's something about this man and his friends that I love. The Bible says, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. He was in the house, and he wanted to receive them. The Lord wants to receive you and receive me. There's no time that the Lord doesn't want to receive us. His ears are attentive to us. His eyes are focused on us. He wants to minister to us. And I believe the Lord is here to minister to us today. I'm reminded about what the Lord said to me in the word that I brought to us this morning. He said, this house is a restaurant. He says, I'm going to serve the people today. Whatever it is they need, whatever it is they need, it doesn't matter how complex and complicated it is, it matters not. I am here to take the order. I'm here to take their orders and fill their requirement. Jesus was in the house, and says, the Bible says there was no room to receive them. No. Not so much as about the door. And he preached unto them the word. And the only thing we need to preach is the word. You see, we live in a time when all kinds of gimmickry is put forward in the name of preaching the gospel. Well, it is true, you know, we need bait to catch fish. Amen? But the bait that God has is not all the stuff that we go about trying to do this and trying to do that, you know, to bait people, to attract them. His bait is his miraculous working power. Signs and wonders. My belief today is this, that God will do again in his church. Signs, wonders, and miracles. That when men are looking to find a solution, that they say, let's go into the house of the Lord. There is a God who can answer prayers. There's a God who can meet every need in my life. There is a God who can supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There's a God that can give me brand new kidneys, brand new lungs. There's a God who can restore my health. There's a God who can heal my skin diseases. If he did it for a Naaman, he can do it for me. If he gave a blind Bartimaeus sight, he can do it for me. If he gave hearing to the dumb and to the deaf, he can do it for me. God, I come to you for miracles in the mighty name of Jesus. That power is available to us today, that God will do a new thing in our lives, that God will heal, restore, and make whole. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy. This man had the shakes. He was born of four. He couldn't come himself. He had a palsy. Could be Parkinson's disease. Could be any kind of disease. We don't know what disease this was. But the Bible says it was a palsy. And was being carried by four people. Everybody needs a friend. He couldn't take himself there. He had heard Jesus was in the house, but he couldn't go. Four of his friends said, we'll take you. We'll take you. We'll take you. You sure? Yes. We'll take you. John, come. Take that side. Nathaniel, take that side. Jacob, take that side. I'm going to take this side. And they carried this man. You can see him in his stretcher. They're carrying him. Man, wow, what have you been eating? You weigh so much, man. Keep your mouth shut. Stop bugging me. Just do what you're supposed to do. Carry me. And they're teasing each other, but they're carrying him. And they get there. And nobody will give room. Who wants to give room? I want a miracle. You want a miracle? Take your turn. You came wherever it is that you came. But I'm here. I'm going to get my miracle. In Luke chapter 5, the Bible tells us something about the people that were there. In Luke chapter 5, beginning to read from verse 17, recapping what we've read so far. He says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. That's their problem. They were sitting by. They were sitting by. In other words, they were there, but they were not engaged. They were sitting by. But they had come. It says, which were come out of every town of Galilee. All the towns of Galilee. This man, this educated religious man, had come from all of these towns of Galilee. Not only had they come from the Galilee, they had come from Judea. And they had come also from Jerusalem. All the way up from Jerusalem. They came down from Jerusalem. And the Bible says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Notice The power of God was present to heal them. The power of God was present to deliver them. The power of God was present to snatch them out of their place of limitation, their religious mindset and their thinking. God's power was present there to heal them. But are they going to get it? They were sitting right there. They were in the same room with Jesus. These people had come from all kinds of places. Jesus was not in town, possibly when they came. As we take Mark and Luke together, because the Bible says Jesus had left and he came again after many days. They had their agenda. They had come. And Jesus, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, came back from wherever it was that he was. Came there. Why did he come? To heal them, of course. But the people he came for were busy sitting by, unengaged. Why did you come? There are so many who come to church, and I want to wonder, why did you come to church if you are not going to connect with God? Why did you come? People come to church for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes people come because they want to hear a good message. Sometimes people come because they want to meet with their friends. Sometimes people come because they want to wear that new dress that they bought that they've not worn out. We don't go to parties, so the only place I'm going to wear my nice outfit is to church. Look at my nice high heels. I got my nice suit and my nice shoes and my nice tie. People come for all kinds of reasons. But the reason God comes is because he wants to heal. Hallelujah. The reason he comes is because he wants to deliver. The reason he comes is because he wants to redeem men and women, snatch them from the claws of the enemy. And child of God, when you come to the house of the Lord, you must come with a mindset to receive from God what God has to provide and experience the deliverance of God, shatter every stronghold and remove every limitation, because you want a breakthrough. A healing for your marriage. A restoration for your financial situation. Why do we come? The power of God was present to heal them. When I look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, I remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I want to look at that just for a moment and come back to Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. You know, sometimes there are passages of scripture that captures particular essence in your spirit. The word of God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, when you are in Christ, then you are supposed to be a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, there's an opportunity for them to experience a newness of life. They were in the right place, but they were sitting by. In the right place, but are they going to get what God has for them? Verse 18 says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. He was taken with a palsy. This is something that hit him out of nowhere. One day he's busy walking around and he's perfectly okay. And the next thing, what was that? Huh. And he was taken. He was overcome by something he didn't used to have. Something had taken him. Something has seized him. Something had snatched him from the place of his strength. And now he is weak and incapable. One day he was totally dependent on his, or rather independent, and now he's so dependent. One day he had the money, and now he's broke. One day you are happily married, and the next day you wake up and you say, what happened to my family? What happened? How did we get here? I thought we were happy. What happened? You've been taken. He was taken by palsy. But the Bible says that they sought means to bring him in. They sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. They wanted to bring this man and place this man before Jesus. But when they got there, the whole place is packed. But what I like about this man and his friends is that they made the decision on how they're going to get that miracle. You know, if he went in, he's going to come out. After all, he left town before and he came back. So at some point, especially in the day and time that he lived, there were no inside washrooms. So at some point, he's going to come out to go use the washroom. So we'll wait outside here. No, I said, no. We want the power. When the power is present, that's when you grab it. That's when you grab it. That's when you take it and say, this cannot pass me by. I must get it today. I must get it right now. God, you can turn my situation around today. It looks impossible, but I serve a God who knows no impossibilities. So they made a decision. If you guys will not let us in, we will let ourselves in. Maybe it was Nathaniel, maybe it was Mark, maybe it was Jacob. And maybe it was Barnabas. Those are the names I'm giving to these guys. One of them decided, but they all came into agreement. If we cannot go through this way, we'll come from the top. If the guy at this level cannot give you access, go to the top. You see, that's sometimes the mistake we make. We're waiting for things to just happen. You can go right to the top. When I'm looking for something and some guy says, I don't think it is possible, I say, give me your supervisor. Have you ever done that? Give me the supervisor. Because I believe that what I'm asking is not out of place. Give me the supervisor. And the supervisor says, your goose is cooked, then okay. Give me the supervisor. And if supervisor's not acting right, I say, give me the manager. I want to talk to the top person right here in this office. Because you guys are not, you're not speaking my language. I need somebody who's going to come into agreement. And right now you're not in agreement. So give me somebody that I know can decide what is going to happen here. So here they were. They decided. They grabbed the guy. I don't even know if they discussed it with him. I'm sure if they had discussed it with him, he says, are you guys nuts? What are you trying to do? You're trying to carry me up the stairs? And this couch? Yeah? Why? Because we're going to tear off that roof. You're going to do what? Tear up the roof. Why do you want to tear up the roof? Because we're going to lower you from up the roof to where Jesus is. Now that is tenacity. That is somebody that's desperate. And is not willing to wait anymore. Because he, you see, this man with the palsy that was taken by the palsy was saying, you know what? I don't accept this state. I got to get my miracle and I got to get it today. One way or the other, today is the day that God has made for me to rejoice and be glad. And I beseech you now, Lord, send now prosperity. I am not accepting this as my normal. The way this palsy came and took me, it's going to leave me. It's going to leave me today. So the Bible says, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch. Can you imagine how big this hole is? Maybe if they tied a rope to the man's hand, made a small hole and just lowered him. No, they made a big hole big enough to handle a whole couch. Each one grabbing one side with a rope, they lowered him. Guess what happened? The room was full already. Guess what happened? The people that were inside the room started pushing each other. And they pushed themselves out. Hallelujah. I said they pushed themselves out so that the man can come in. You got to have that tenacity of faith that will cause people that said, you cannot come here to make room for you because you are crazy enough to do such a crazy thing. That's a kind of faith that is called crazy faith. Amen. A faith that refuses to accept no for an answer. Today we're going to get this miracle. Who promised you a miracle? The power was here for the Pharisees and the lawyers. The power is present for them. What makes you think you can get a miracle? And the man is thinking, power is power. If power can heal them, power can heal me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead can quicken my mortal body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they lowered him. And he's right there before the Lord Jesus. And the passage goes on to say, and when he saw their faith, when he saw their faith, in essence, faith can be seen. Faith can be seen. The Bible says in the Mark 2 passage, I flip there to verse 4, it says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, the multitude, the people, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, do you know whose house this was that were busy breaking up? It was Peter's house, the mother-in-law's house. And can you imagine Peter, hot-tempered Peter? Somebody's busy breaking up his house. They knew Peter in town. This guy's a hothead, Peter. Peter is the one who grabbed a knife and cut somebody's ears off. Peter. Peter is the one who said to Jesus, "Hey, don't you dare say that again, that you're going to go and die somewhere." Peter challenged the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, the no-nonsense guy, you are busy breaking up his mother's house because you want a healing? And the guy says, "We don't care. What is he going to do? Beat us up? We'll get the beating after the fact. We'll apologize and take permission after the fact. But right now, we're going to get our miracle." The Bible says, they uncovered the roof where he was, where Jesus was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Next verse says, when Jesus saw their faith, it's a consistent fact, stated in the book of Luke, stated in the book of Mark, Jesus saw their faith. Notice, it didn't say Jesus saw his faith. He saw their corporate faith. Everyone involved in this was operating in faith, believing. The Bible says he said unto the sick of the palsy. He saw their faith, but he spoke to the one who had the problem. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Why did the Lord say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee"? Because in this particular case, this palsy came about because of the sinful lifestyle of this man. That's why he was taken. There are some sicknesses that come upon people based on their past dealings. Jesus said, "Son," I like that. I like that. I like that he called him son. Because Jesus was not dealing with him based on his past sins. He's just saying, "I know about your rough lifestyle. I know all the crazy things you've done. But man, I see passion inside of you. I see something else. What was inside of you that you used for evil, I see it operating here. You're a hothead. Just like this one, Peter." That's why he chose Peter to become the leader of the church. He didn't want some weak guy. Well, I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. No, God sometimes chooses hotheads. That's why he picked up a Paul. Sometimes God picks somebody that is a firebrand. Let's go get it. I don't care what happens. God says, "I like that, you know, because, you know, you cannot move rocks with a lawnmower. You need a bulldozer." So God looks for bulldozer spirits. Hallelujah. There was a bulldozing aspect about this man. Let's go. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven you." That same thing. It's that same thing that got you into so many troubles. And now, you see the end of it? You are weak. Bulldoze now. Bulldoze. Bulldozer. Peter was a hothead. But at some point, God has to break you down so that he can use you better. So he tells Peter, who said, I will never deny you. He says, before the cock crows at dawn, you're going to betray me three times. And a little girl comes and says, Peter, you're one of them. Oh, no, I don't know him. Hot head, cool down real quick, yeah? Yeah, it was the man with the palsy. One day was strong, and now he's weak. And God says, I can restore you. I can do a new thing in your life. Your sins are forgiven you, son. Son. I don't know where you are or what's happening in your life this very moment. I want you to know that God is not disqualifying you because of your past. But in spite of your past, he's doing a new thing today. And he's calling you son. Yeah, I know about all the fooling around. I know about all the crazy stuff that you've done. I know how you got caught and snared by this ailment. But the very fact that you are locking in with the eyes of faith today, I will restore and make you every withhold. Hallelujah. Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the sick one, and he says to him, sins are forgiven you. But that's when what God wanted to heal these other guys from showed up. He says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. What are they reasoning about? Verse 7 says, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Why is he making such a comment about forgiving sins? Who can forgive sins but God only? Come here saying, forgiving sins. Nobody can forgive sins but God. That's remarkable. Because the Lord says to us as his disciples, it says, whatever sins you forgive shall be forgiven. Whatever sins you hold on to shall be held on to. So in a sense, when we came to salvation, God reinstated our position of authority to recognize that he has graced us with Godship. Says, I'm giving you authority to forgive sins. This man was saying, who can forgive sins but God? Well, that's true. Verse 8, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason you these things in your hearts? They are there thinking, all of them. All of them, they are reasoning in their hearts. In their hearts. It's a spirit. They didn't say anything to each other. They were right there looking at Jesus smiling. What is this guy thinking? Yes. What is this thinking? Yes. He thinks he's God or something? Huh? In their hearts, they are all wound up. They are getting angrier by the moment. And the Bible says Jesus perceived that they were thinking that way. Verse 9. He says, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Which is easier. Your sins are forgiven you. Or take up thy bed and walk. Which is easier? Well, it depends on where you're coming from. If I say to you, your sins are forgiven you, we don't really have any proof. All we have is words. But to say to the man with a palsy, take up your bed and walk, that's some manifestation right there. That everybody can tell right away. He's healed. He's not healed. Your sins are forgiven you. We don't know. That's spiritual. So he says, in verse 10, but that ye may know, that ye may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, verse 11, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Go home. Oh, I love the next verse. Look at this. And, say it with me, immediately he arose. And immediately he arose. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, right in front of them. He walks. Let me say it again. Right in front of them, he walks. I'll say it the third time. Right in front of them, he walks. You know why I'm telling you he walks? Because he was a sinner. He deserved this imprisonment of weakness and palsy. But he was justified. He walks. Just like a man who deserves to be in prison, and you are before the judge, and the judge puts the gavel down and says, acquitted, you walk. No longer to be attached to that past situation. I believe today that somebody here, I don't know who it is, it might just be you, that today you are going to walk. You're going to walk today. You're going to walk free and leave behind all the reasons why you became weak. He said, take up your bed. That's renewed strength. Take up your couch. That's renewed strength. He's no longer having to move around, shaking and falling. Now, he goes forth before them all. The Bible says, insomuch that they were all amazed. Everybody. Everybody. The Sadducees, who are sad, you see. And the Pharisees, who are not that fair, were all amazed. And they glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. So shall it be unto us according to the word of the Lord, that we will experience God's power in a way that people say, we never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen it like this before. We've seen miracles, but this is at another level. And I believe God is taking us into another realm, into another level that will cause men and women to fall before their faces and say, there is a God who knows no impossibilities, who is doing great and greater things. After all, did the Lord not promise us this? that we will do greater things because he's gone to be with the Father. We say today, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let it now be unto us according to thy word. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, your power is present here to heal. Lord, oh God, we tap, oh God, into that healing anointing. The healing anointing that heals us physically, that heals us emotionally, that heals us financially, that heals our relationships, that heals, oh God, every aspect of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Lord, oh God, we grab and we take a hold of your word that calls us sons and says every sin is forgiven. You have the power to forgive sins and therefore break and destroy the consequences of that sin. Lord, because of sin, sickness and death came. Because of sin, poverty came. Because of sin, lack came. Because of sin, we did not receive full impact of results for the efforts put in. For your word says, O God, that man was to reap thorns and thistles. But Lord, O God, now that the power of sin is destroyed and we are forgiven, we thank you, Lord, O God, that the blessing, O God, is manifesting glory in our lives. That the words that we speak out of our mouths bring forth a release of your glory as we experience total restoration. Thank you, Father, for eternal grace. Thank you, Lord, for blessings pursuing after us and overtaking us. Thank you, Lord, for healed lives, restored lives. We take up our beds and we walk. Thank you, Lord, free from all condemnation, free from every judgment, free from every punishment, free from every accusation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that room has been made for us to receive our miracles right now. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.